This is Chaitanya Chaitamita.
That's the
way we're
doing.
Yeah?
Water?
Oh. Yeah. Go make a cake.
Monica. Oh, yeah.
I hope you're saving yourself.
Didn't you eat?
No, okay.
Yeah, you're going to eat today.
So this is Chaitanya Chaitamita and Prabhupada's nice translations. So this pasadena is particularly nice, as far as I'm concerned, because it shows that Krishna is not only accessible, but he's willing to change his mind due to devotees' strong feelings or strong even arguments sometimes, because he is very very attracted by his devotees. He's very subservient, we might say, to his devotees' love for him. So, So Madhavendra Puri was one of the first people to really establish the Madhurya Ras, the intimate relationship that Krishna has. Please go ahead and eat this. I'm just going to read it. The intimate relationship that Krishna has with his devotees is established in his conjugal rasa. And even though we're living in Kali Yuga and it's very removed from our daily existence, the ability for the most fallen people to engage in the highest rasa is possible, according to Prabhupada. So his mission was very, very difficult. We can understand how difficult it was when we realized that he was giving the highest knowledge, the highest of all the rasas, in the sense that there's differentiation from one side to the other, to the most fallen, the most lowly parts of the world, and the most lowly people of the world, ourselves. This was one of Prabhupada's missions, was to bring what the different rasas are, and establishing that the Kandila ras was the highest of all rasas. On one occasion, he said that in one sense, all the rasas are equal, they're all, one's not greater than the other, but in a technical sense, these were his words. I heard him say this in San Francisco in 1967. That the conjugal ras was superior ras. And he talks about that a little bit more in parts of the Chaitanya Chaitanya. Please, carry on.
I'm talking
to
my ears.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead. Just as in the earth, we hear about the elements that make up existence. So in the earth, there's also smell. You can smell in the earth. And there's also sight and sound. And so Prabhupada uses the example that the conjugal rasa is the sweetest of all rasas. And the example he uses there is he talks about the sweetness of a thing. Like, the sweetness of a thing is based upon how much sugar is there, or food. So the idea is that you can make something sweeter and sweeter by putting more sugar in it. But you can't put too much sugar. You can put too much salt in it, and it doesn't taste good. However, you can't put too much sugar in something, because ultimately it will become crystallized. And crystallized sugar, or rock candy, is actually very tasty. So similarly, the conjugal ras is the sweetest of all rasas that can become. You can't keep adding to it and make it disgusting. It becomes sweeter and sweeter. To use that example. So this is a story which culminates in how Krishna is subservient to his devotees. And you'll see as we read this very nice pastime. This took place in Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya spent the last part of his life. The last 6 years. Because he lived for a total of 48 years. 24 years were spent in his home area, Madhavid, and six of the last 24 in South India. And then he spent 18 years in Puri, roughly, that's right. So this is in Puri. And this is the verse. The next day, Mukundadat informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahmananda Bharati has come to see you. And the next verse. Agya Deha, Yari Tanme Aniya Yetai, Prabhu Kahe. Guru Chenya Yabatana Khan. Mukundadat then asked the Lord, shall I bring him here? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ramananda Bharati is like my spiritual master. It's better that I go to him. Ramananda Bharati was the godbrother of Ishwara Puri, who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vaishnava spiritual master, not his own spiritual master. That was Keshava Bharati. So, in order to follow etiquette, he said that he shouldn't come to me, I should go to him. He considered Ramananda Bharati, because he was the godbrother of his guru, was as good as his guru. So he says, Ramananda Bharati is like my spiritual master. It is better that I go to him. He was observing etiquette that he wouldn't, spiritual master wouldn't come to see him. He would go to see him. So he's like Ramananda Bharati, his spiritual master. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees came before the presence of Ramananda Bharati, which I won't read all the Bengali. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees approached him, they saw that he was covered with a deer skin. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very unhappy. Quickly. Ramananda Bharati belonged to the Shankara Sampradaya. The title Bharati indicates one of the 10 sannyasis in the Shankara Sampradaya. It is customary for a person who has renounced the world to cover his body with a deer skin or the bark of a tree. It turns Bharati Sampradaya. This is enjoined in the Manu Samhita. However, if a sannyasi who has renounced the world simply wears deer skin and does not spiritually advance, he is simply puffed up and conceited. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like to see Ramananda Bharati wearing a deer skin. Seeing Ramananda Bharati thus attired, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pretended not to see him. Instead, he asked Mukundadutt, where's Ramananda Bharati, my spiritual master? We're talking about this a little bit today, but he employed this kind of speech, which we could call diplomacy, but more correctly, it's speaking in a way that's pleasing to others. Mukundadutt replied, here's Ramananda Bharati in your presence. The Lord replied, you are incorrect. This is not Ramananda Bharati. You must be talking of someone else. For this is surely not Ramananda Bharati. You simply have no knowledge. Why should Ramananda Bharati wear a deerskin? When Ramananda Bharati heard this, he thought, he's thinking to himself now, this is quite close, my deerskin is not approved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus admitting his mistake, Ramananda Bharati thought, he spoke well. I put this deerskin on only for prestige. I cannot cross the ocean of nations simply by wearing a deerskin. From today on, I shall not wear this deerskin, he was thinking. As soon as Ramananda Bharati decided this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding his mind, because he's, of course, omniscient, immediately sent for the robes of the sannyasi. As soon as Ramananda Bharati gave up his deerskin and covered himself with sannyasi robes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and offered his respects at his lotus feet. Ramananda Bharati said, you instruct the general populace by your behavior. I will not do anything against your wishes. Otherwise, you will not offer me respects but will neglect me. I am afraid of this. At the present moment, I see two Brahmanas. So it's not Brahmanas, but Brahmanas. In the Sampradaya of Keshava Bharati, it's in the Shankara Sampradaya, it's considered that Brahman is supreme and that Brahman is not a person. So he's actually being converted here. Ramananda Bharati, even though he has been taught impersonalism, he's grown up with it, he's gradually beginning to understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a person and he is the Supreme Brahman. So he's saying this, at the present moment I see two Brahmans. One Brahman is Lord Jagannath, is there in Puri, who does not move, and the other Brahman who is moving is you. Lord Jagannath is Archavigraha, the worshipable deity, and it is he who is non-moving. Who is the non-moving Brahman? However, you are Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you are moving here and there. Both of you are the same Brahman, master of material nature, but you are playing two parts, one moving and one not moving. In this way, the two Brahmans are now residing in Jagannath Puri, Purushottama. That's another name for Puri, Purushottama, the city of the Supreme Lord. The person of the Lord. One of the two Brahmins, this is Ramananda Bharati continuing, Of the two Brahmins, you are fair complexion, and the other, Lord Jagannath, is blackish. However, both of you are delivering the whole world. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, actually, to tell you the truth, due to your presence, there are now two Brahmins in Jagannath Puri. So Lord Chaitanya is saying to Brahmanada Bharati, he's beginning to argue. He's saying it's because of you that there are two Brahmins in Jagannath Puri. Both Brahmananda and Gaurahari are moving, whereas the blackish Lord Jagannath is sitting tight and immobile. So he's making himself out to be a jiva here. He's saying both Brahmananda, Bharati, the person before him, and Gaurahari, meaning himself, are moving, whereas the blackish Lord Jagannath is sitting tight and immobile. Purport. Brahmananda Bharati wanted to prove that there is no difference between the Supreme Lord and the jiva, because that's the philosophy of impersonalism, Mayavada. Brahmananda Bharati wanted to prove that there is no difference between the Supreme Lord and the jiva. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to prove that he and Brahmananda Bharati were jivas. Of course, he's not a jiva, but by his humility, he was arguing that he was a jiva. All the jivas are Brahman. They are many, but the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Brahman, is one. On the other hand, Brahmananda Bharati wanted to prove that Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to fulfill his mission, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to be moving, whereas Lord Jagannath appeared to be inert. However, both of them are one and the same. Thus, this jolly argument was going on. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, it's because of you, Brahmananda Bharati, that we can say there are two Brahmans, because you believe that Jiva and Vishnu Tattva are the same. And Brahmananda Bharati is saying, well, I see that, they're both Brahman, but one is moving and one is not moving. Finally, Brahmananda Bharati referred the whole matter to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for a final decision. Now, this Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was also an impersonalist. He was raised an impersonalist. But he had been converted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Brahmananda Bharati was appealing to him to make the final judgment. Brahmananda Bharati said, my dear Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please come and become the mediator in this logical argument between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and me. Brahmananda Bharati continued, the living entity is localized, whereas the Supreme Brahman is all-pervading. That is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahmananda Bharati drew Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's attention because he wanted him to judge the argument. He then stated that Brahman, the Supreme Lord, is all-pervading. This is confirmed by Bhagavad Gita, Kshetragyam chapi mamvidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetragyor jnanam yat jnanam matamama. O scion of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies, and to understand this body and its owner is called knowledge. That is my opinion from the 13th chapter. Introduction to consciousness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature is expanded everywhere. This the Brahma Samhita says, Adantarasta Paramano Chayantara. Stop. By virtue of his all pervasive nature, the Supreme Lord is within the universe as well as within all elements of the universe. He is even within the atom. In this way, the Supreme Lord Govinda is all pervasive. On the other hand, the living entities are very, very small. It is said that the living entity is 1/10,000th, the tip of a hair. Therefore, the living entity is localized. Living entities rest on the Brahman effulgence, the bodily rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Prabhupada making the distinction that there are jiva tattvas and there are Vishnu tattvas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified me by taking away my deer skins. This is proof that he is all pervasive and all powerful, and that I am subordinate to him. Purport. Brahmananda Bharati herein asserts that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Brahman, and that he is a subordinate Brahman. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Nitya nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Brahman, or Param Brahman, the chief of all living entities. Both the Supreme Brahman, or the Personality of Godhead, and the living entities are persons. But the Supreme Brahman is the predominator, whereas the living entities are predominated. And he's quoting now the Mahabharata. His bodily hue is golden, and his whole body is like molten gold. Every part of his body is very beautifully constructed and smeared with sandalwood and pulp. Accepting the renounced order, the Lord is always equipoised. He is firmly fixed in his mission of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and he is firmly situated in his dualistic conclusion and in his peace. This is a quote from Mahabharata, Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra. All the symptoms mentioned in this verse from Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra are visible in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His arms are decorated with ornamental bangles made of sandalwood pulp and with the thread received from Sri Jagannath Deity. So he's arguing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he's got to be the Supreme Brahman because he meets all these qualifications. After hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya rendered his judgment, saying, Brahmananda Bharati, I see that you are victorious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately said, I accept whatever Brahmananda Bharati has said. It is quite all right with me. Translation. Next verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus posed himself as a disciple and accepted Brahmananda Bharati as his spiritual master. He then said, the disciple is certainly defeated in an argument with the spiritual master. Brahmananda Bharati immediately countered these words, saying, this is not the cause of your defeat. There is another cause. So now he's going, even deeper and deeper. This is your natural characteristic. You accept defeat at the hands of your devotee. So he's saying that it's not just because you're considering me your spiritual master, but because you are God himself, you're accepting defeat at the hands of your devotee. This is another glory of yours, which I ask you to hear attentively. I have been meditating on the impersonal Brahman since my birth, but since I have seen you, I have fully experienced Krishna. Ramananda Bharati admitted that when there is an argument between the spiritual master and the disciple, the spiritual master is naturally victorious, although the disciple may put forward a strong argument. In other words, it is customary that the words of the spiritual master are more worshipable than the words of a disciple. Under the circumstances, since Ramananda Bharati was in the position of the spiritual master, he emerged victorious over Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who considered himself Ramananda Bharati's disciple. However, Ramananda Bharati reversed the argument and took the position of a devotee, admitting that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This means that the Lord was voluntarily defeated out of affection for the devotee. He was defeated voluntarily because no one can defeat the Supreme Lord. Concerning this, the words of Bhishma in Srimad Bhagavatam are important. Spanigamam apahaya matpakigyam Dritam adhikartam avaplutaratasta Dritarata charano yayach chaladur Harir ivahantum ibam katot pariya. Fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up his wheel, and ran toward me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. That's from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Krishna promised not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but in order to break Krishna's promise, Bhishma attacked Arjuna in such a vigorous way that Krishna was obliged to take up a chariot wheel and attack Bhishma. The Lord did this to show that his devotee was being maintained at the sacrifice of his own promise. Ramananda Bharati said, since the beginning of my life, I was attached to impersonal Brahman realization, but as soon as I saw you, I became very much attached to the personality of Godhead, Krishna.
This is Lotus
on the phone. Oh, okay.
So this is the letter for you guys, so she should call back. Because I suggest to call back in a half hour, but...
Yeah. Yeah, or I can call... Or just to show... That his devotee was being maintained at the sacrifice of his own promise. Brahmananda Bharati said, since the beginning of my life, I was attached to impersonal Brahman realization, but as soon as I saw you, I became very much attached to the personality of Krishna. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself. And thus, Brahmananda Bharati became his devotee. So he's converted him. And this is the verse that he quoted from Bhagavatam, which is very interesting, because Bhishma was accused by those fighting on his side that he was favoring Pandavas and he wasn't fighting very vigorously. So he promised Duryodhana that I'll fight so vigorously, I'll attack Arjuna so vigorously, that either he's going to die or Krishna, Supreme Lord, has to break his promise because he promised not to fight. So because he was such a great devotee and a powerful devotee, that's the inner meaning of this. He actually forced Krishna to break his promise. And there's this famous picture we've seen, the devotees have drawn, painted, of Arjuna running to stop Krishna, who's running after with his chariot whirling, and Bhishma's, you know, is just in this kind of a chivalrous, it's not kind of, it's the chivalrous rasa, where he's even though Arjuna has actually shot him with several arrows, it doesn't show in the picture, but he's seeing that the Lord is coming at him, and he's in ecstasy because he sees that the Lord, who is very dear to him, is breaking his promise. He built the Supreme Lord. How can the Supreme Lord break a promise? If God gives a promise, that's it. But he was breaking his promise, and it was Bhishma that caused him to break his promise. So this shows that sometimes the Supreme Lord, when there's a great devotee involved, will go against what he vowed to do. And a similar thing happened when Ashwatthama was captured and Bhima was going to kill him because he slaughtered the sons of Draupadi. Speaking of sons, they were teenage boys, young boys in their sleep, and this was a violation of all laws of fighting, of Kshatriya law, warrior law. They were sleeping, they didn't have weapons, they were underage. So he broke all those laws. And therefore, Bhima was ready to kill him. He was captured. But Draupadi and Yudhisthira said, well, you can't kill him, because Yudhisthira said, well, his father was a Brahmin, and therefore it's wrong to kill Ashwatthama, because we can't attack Brahmins. It's against religious principles. His father was Dronacharya, who was also the martial arts teacher of the Pandavas and the Kurus as well. So they were arguing with Bhima that, you know, you can't kill him. And even Draupadi, and they were her children, said that I don't think it's right to kill him, because not only is he a Brahmin, because he's the son of a Brahmin, but his wife will be left alone and barren. That's also against religious principles. So this argument was going on. And Krishna, and originally, decided with Bhima that this man has killed his children, he should be killed. He broke all the rules of Dharma. He should be killed. That was his opinion. And he's addressed in this verse, instead of as Krishna, as Chakrabhuj, the four-armed one. And so Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the comment that the reason he was addressed as four-armed Chakrabhuj, Bhuj means arms or limb, Chakrabhuj means four, instead of two-armed, because he wasn't a two-armed form, was, his interpretation was that he had to keep Bhima away and Arjuna away from Draupadi and Yudhisthira. So he had to sort of keep them from fighting each other. So that explanation Prabhupada gives in his purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then Krishna reverses his opinion. At first he said, no, he's a sinner, he killed him, he broke all laws of Dharma, a Kshatriya law. But then he reversed his argument and said, no, not exactly reversed, but he changed his opinion. He said, now we have scriptural injunctions on both sides of the argument. Some people are saying he should be killed, and they're giving scriptural evidence. And some people are saying he shouldn't be killed, and they're giving scriptural evidence. And Yudhisthira was considered to be the repository of wisdom, and he was saying, no, you shouldn't kill him. Draupadi's right. So then he turns to Arjuna, and he says, okay, now I'm leaving it up to you. I'm no longer taking the position that he has to be killed. I'm leaving it up to you to decide what has to be done. Use your sharp intelligence, Prabhupada says. He's paraphrasing. He's using sharp intelligence to figure out what should be done. So what does he do? What happens then? Does anybody remember? Nobody does, not so tired.
Removes the jewel and hand cuts his hair.
Yeah, and why is that effective? Because what does the Bhagavad Gita say about insulting somebody?
Infamy of the wisdom,
so he insulted him. And for Kshatriya to have the jewel removed and the hair hanging down, that is a great insult. And that's worse than death. So that was his sharp intelligence. He killed him, and Krishna said to him, you have to kill him and not kill him at the same time. So this is what he did. He insulted him, and he drove him away
And it is said that he's still wandering about even today. He has no place to go. And out of great insult, he won't go back into any city. He won't go into any human being. So this is an example of how Krishna changed his mind because his devotees, they were Yudhisthira and Draupadi, very dear to him because they disagreed. They were very, very great devotees. Of course, we can't imitate them. They were so convinced that this was the right thing to do that Krishna changed his mind. So in this instance that we're reading here, Lord Chaitanya was arguing with Ramananda Bharati. But the real reason why he changed his mind, why he accepted defeat and said that Ramananda Bharati is right, wasn't because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that whatever Ramananda Bharati said was right. It wasn't because he was saying that he's a spiritual master and observing that etiquette that you don't argue with a spiritual master. But because he was realizing this is actually a great devotee. And therefore, he understood and recognized this verse and took it to be true. But the real reason is that the Lord sometimes is defeated by his devotee. He's actually defeated by his devotee. This is why he quoted that verse. That Bhishma made Krishna break his promise. He promised something. So Ramananda Bharati is saying that therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself, and Ramananda Bharati thus became his devotee. Ramananda Bharati continued, "Since I have seen you, I have been feeling Lord Krishna's presence in my mind and have been seeing him before my eyes. I now want to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. Over and above this, within my heart, I consider you to be Krishna. I am therefore very eager to serve you." Dilva Mangal Thakur abandoned, this is still Krishna Bharati speaking. Dilva Mangal Thakur abandoned his personal realization for the realization of the personality of God. "I now see that my condition is similar to his, for his already, it has already changed." Report. In his early life, Dilva Mangal Thakur was an impersonalist monist, and he used to meditate upon the impersonal Brahman proposal. Later he became a devotee of Lord Krishna, and his explanation for this change is given in a verse, text 178, that is quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. "Gradually one comes to the stage of Bhagavan realization of the Supreme Person. After having attained the lower stages of realization, personal Brahman realization, and localized Paramatma realization, this is described in Chaitanya Chandamrita by Prabhupada Sadatar. Kaivalyam Narakayate Tridashapur Akasha Pushpayate Dur Dan Tindriya Kalasapa Patali Kokata Dam Chitataye Dam Trayate Vishvam Purna Sukayate Vidhi Mahendradish Chakatayate Yat Karumya Taksha Vibhava Vibhava Vatam Tam Guram Eva Spanaha. Kaivalya, oneness in the effulgence of Brahman, appears hellish to the devotee. The heavenly planets, the abodes of the demigods, appear to the devotee like phantasmagoria. The yogis meditate for sense control, but for the devotee, the senses appear like serpents with broken teeth. The devotee doesn't have to control his senses, for his senses are already engaged in the Lord's service. Consequently, there is no possibility that the senses will act like serpents. In a material condition, the senses are as strong as poisonous snakes. When the teeth are broken, the snake is no longer dangerous. The entire world is a replica of Vaikuntha for the devotee, because he has no anxiety. He sees that everything belongs to Krishna, and he does not want to enjoy anything for himself. He does not even aspire for the position of the Lord or Indra. He simply wants to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he has no problem. He stands in his original constitutional position. All this is possible when one receives Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful glance. In the Chaitanya Chandamrita, there are many more verses illustrating this same principle. Dikurvati cha brahma yoga vidushat tam gora chandram numaha tavad brahma kata vimukta pada vitavan natikti bhave tavach chapi Vishni kalatvam ayate na loka veda itihi tavach chastra vigam nita kalakalo nana bahir vartmasu Sri Chaitanya Parambuja Priya Jano Yavani Digocharaha Goras Charaha Sakala Maharaj Kopi me divra virya. Discussion of the impersonal Brahman is not very palatable to devotees. The so-called regulations of the Shastra also appear null and void to them. There are many people who argue over the Shastras, but for a devotee, such discussions are but tumultuous roaring. By the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these problems disappear. Ramananda Bharati concluded, although I was worshipped by those on the path of monism and initiated into realization through the yoga system, I am nonetheless forcibly turned into a maidservant. This is a quote from Lopa Mangal Thakur. And it's quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I'll just read it again. This is actually part of Lopa Mangal Thakur's writing. Although I was worshipped by those on the path of monism and initiated into self-realization through the yoga system, I nonetheless forcibly turned into a maidservant by some cunning boy who was always joking with the gopis. This is a verse written by Lopa Mangal Thakur. Though I was worshipped by those on the path of monism and initiated into self-realization through the yoga system, I nonetheless forcibly turned into a maidservant by some cunning boy who was always joking with the gopis. This is a verse written by Lopa Mangal Thakur. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, you have a deep ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, wherever your eyes turn, you simply heighten your Krishna consciousness. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, both your statements are correct. Krishna gives direct audience through his own mercy. Without having ecstatic love for Krishna, one cannot see him directly. Therefore, through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Bharati has acquired direct vision of the Lord. Report. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are Ramananda Bharati, an advanced devotee who ecstatically loves the Supreme Lord. Therefore, you see Krishna everywhere, and there is no doubt about it. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a mediator between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Bharati. And his judgment was that an advanced devotee like Ramananda Bharati sees Krishna by Krishna's mercy. Krishna directly presents himself before the vision of an advanced devotee. Since Ramananda Bharati was an advanced devotee, he saw Krishna in the person of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then in the words of another form of blasphemy. In this way, I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his internal form, his eternal form of Shamsundar, situated within the heart of a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what are you saying? Lord Vishnu, save me. Such glorification is simply another form of blasphemy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little embarrassed by the Bhattacharya's statement. Therefore, he uttered the name Vishnu to save himself.
The Lord herein confirms that if one is overestimated, glorification is just another form of blasphemy. In this way, he protests this so-called offensive statement. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Ramananda Bharati with him to his residence. From that time on, Ramananda Bharati remained with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, Ramabhadra Acharya and Bhagavan Acharya also joined him, and thus giving up all the other responsibilities, remained under Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shelter. So yeah, it's very nice. That conversion of Ramananda Bharati. There, at the time of the departure of Madhavendra Puri, his disciple Ishwara Puri was serving him very menially. He was cleaning up his stool and urine, and he was taking excellent care of him. He had the opportunity to render that personal service. And there was one devotee who was... Oh, and Madhavendra Puri was, in his last days, lamenting that he couldn't have audience with the Lord. He was always in anxiety, spiritual anxiety. And there was one devotee, I think his name was Ramachandra Khan, who was very critical of Madhavendra Puri. He at one point said, "No, just get out, get away from my presence." And he was quoting Bhagavad Gita to say that, well, like he was quoting before, you shouldn't be in anxiety. Everything is one. We all should be happy. There's a Sojitina Kamshi. He was quoting Brahma Bhutta Prasanama. If you're actually situated in Brahman, then there will be no anxiety. Why are you lamenting? He wasn't. You know, he was, of course, very critical and very blasphemous. And Madhavendra Puri quoted verses of Radharani saying how much she enjoyed Krishna, and Krishna's lamentation that he wasn't with Radharani. He was quoting those kinds of verses. And eventually he just asked this Ramachandra to depart. So this is the way in which there is reciprocation of love between Krishna and his devotees, and it indicates this conjugal offer that one can relate to Krishna on a very high level, in a very advanced form. And Krishna is willing and able to forego his promises and change his plans to alter his orders by the association of the advanced spirit of the devotees. That's the basis of the conjugal law. Of course, we're all neophytes and we're trying to advance by following regulated principles, and so that is what we have to do. But in higher and higher stages, we can observe, we can learn about the relationships that Krishna develops in more advanced stages of devotion. It gives us hope that even though we're from the fallen species of humanity, somehow Prabhupada is very kind, he's giving us knowledge of most advanced forms of devotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you said just now that we have to talk about the regulated principles of consciousness, but that we can learn in higher stages, does that mean when we get there or of them, we can learn of them by the other devotees who are higher stages?
Yeah. It's important that we learn about them. And by learning about them, we can aspire towards getting there someday, but we can't imitate the higher devotees, even though we might hear about them. And in one sense, we're all, everybody, including Krishna, you know, is all in this path of trying to catch up with Prabhupada, so running after him, trying to understand what these more intimate pastimes are, more intimate devotional sentiments are. So we're all in different stages of trying to catch up. But we do, as Prabhupada, Sridhar Swami once said that Prabhupada was asked, and wasn't there, but he said, someone once asked him, why do you always seem so jolly and never seem to have a bad day? And according to Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada's answer was that I always follow your ways. I never do, I always chant around. I'm a strict follower, and therefore I'm always happy. So he gave that indication that if we do, if we're able to, continue, but we'll get there eventually. And of course, we know that Prabhupada was always thinking of Krishna. And in one letter to Sri Krishna, she wrote and said, there was never a time when I didn't think about Krishna. So from his very birth, we consider him Nitya Siddhanta. We were always Krishna conscious. But again, we can't imitate those higher beings.
keeps us, may take us, you know.
How do we understand, how would you say that we can understand devotees who are, if anyone is interested in our association with the devotees, they should be interested in who is in what stage, how can we communicate with them and agree or disagree?
Well, in one sense, we consider everybody to be even more advanced than we are, just like Krishna. In breaking his promise, he considered even Bhishma to be more advanced in the sense that he would reverse his promise. He would break it. And in the sense that Ramananda Bharati was making kind of impersonal arguments, and which kind of was arguing with him. And Prabhupada Bhattacharya said, no, Ramananda Bharati was right. So he changed his opinion because he had great faith in Brahma and Bharati, he's a great devotee. So in that sense, we kind of worship everyone. Think that everybody's more advanced than us. That's how we maintain our humanity. That's one of the reasons why we adopt that attitude. It helps us not want to be revered in society. It helps us to tolerate the injustices, seeing injustices become upon us. It helps us respect all others. If we think another person is greater, if I think that any person is greater than myself, devotionally, then I'm actually advancing Krishna. If I think that way. Sometimes the phrase "bhava grahi janardana," "bhava grahi janardana," is a way of addressing the Supreme Lord, and that means that one's the Lord as Janardana, Bhagavad Janardana, is the one who sees only, who extracts the devotional essence from everybody, doesn't see anything material. And Bhagavad Gita says, what my wants for Jiva, look for Jiva, which is nothing but every living entity is my part and parcel. So the Lord has this ability to see, to extract the devotional essence from everyone, only the good side, so to speak. And devotees, who are followers of the Lord Krishna, and are also instructed to see other living entities. All servants of Krishna, and to extract only that devotional sense, whatever form it may be. So in that way, and everyone who knows, who preaches knows this, we were able to speak to others because we consider them to have a relationship with Krishna that is superior to ours. When Advaita Acharya first saw Ishwarapuri was wandering around in disguise. He didn't look like he looked like a Mayavad sannyasi. He had the vesha, that's the, I don't know exactly how they dressed, but they dressed differently. They had different kind of dandas. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said he was wandering around that week in disguise, Ishwarapuri. They didn't have to wander into a house with Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya was in the middle of his deep puja, worship. And Ishwarapuri sat down right next to him. And he was in the middle of his puja, he said, who are you? And he just said, I'm just lower than a worm in the stool. That was the way he actually thought. And he said, but he saw something was unusual about him. He said, I think you're a Vaishnava. And he just kept on with his puja. And then Mukunda Dutt, who was the one who introduced Bhakti, was a great singer. He began to sing songs about Krishna, and when Ishwarapuri heard these songs come from the mouth of Mukundadat, he began to weep uncontrollably. And then Mukundadat, he knew something was unusual about this person, so he started singing all these songs about Krishna, these bhajan. And he had such a beautiful voice that he always enthused all the Vaishnavas. He was considered, you know, very extraordinary. He had Narasimha Das and a few others. And then, because he continued, Ishwarapuri not only was weeping uncontrollably, but he fell unconscious. And then Advaita Acharya knew that he was somewhat really extraordinary. And he became spiritual master and another, you know, very big devotee. So we don't know. We probably leave it really true. We have to offer respect to everybody.
And notice that often various kinds of people, even monk people that come to the temple are drunk, mm-hmm. come outside are very dirty. Mm-hmm. They think they have some And does John have a philosophy of being?
Sure.
And so it's good to teach him about this, and I want him to learn to know.
Yes.
This is one of the meanings of love. Love, one of the meanings is the respect.
Yeah.
To be able to love you need to respect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, because when we talk of love, really, in its pure form, pure love, we're speaking really of prema, as opposed to love in the material world. And part of that pure love is, any love, is obedience, loyalty, faithfulness. Because today, it's very perverted, isn't it, when people speak of love. You know, sometimes they kill their children, or they kill their husband, or their wife, or their mother, and stuff. And but I loved them, I loved them. So it's perverted, it's not real love. But as you were indicating, real love has to contain elements of loyalty, faithfulness, obedience. That's part of what it means. So when we speak of it on this higher platform, all those things have to be part of it. It's not just like, you know, hear all these songs of love, 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 heart is broken. Yeah. I mean, some of those songs, devotees think, oh, they're bhakti. But actually, some of them are very close to bhakti, but they're not bhakti. And that's where so many of us go wrong. We mistake real love, the real prema, as from lust, from, you know, kind of false attachment. So it's a very subtle difference, but it's a very important difference. It's another distinction. I think Bhaktivedanta Maharaj wrote about that in his book. He's always talking about transforming lust into love, being able to distinguish between them. Okay, I think I'm going to read it. I think Radha Priya and Saraswati. Maybe we're going to call, but maybe, is it possible to phone somewhere at the temple?
Yeah, we could call.
Maybe you should call and ask them to just remind them to come by.
Okay.
Because I don't know when they're finished. They're probably in the middle of the evening right now. So this is very, this Chaitanya Chaitanya is very deep. There's a lot of very deep times in here. Sometimes we kind of take it for granted. It's just a nice book. But, I mean, the most intimate pastimes are in felt that book. Some of them say, well, you know, not the most intimate, other people can teach it, but Prabhupada can tell everything and more.
You noticed the other poetry, the Sanskrit text in Sanskrit, they all rhyme.
Yeah, well, the Sanskrit Prabhupada used the example about how it never deviates in its pronunciation. He used the words in English, we have beauty, put, and but, all containing the letter U, but they're pronounced U, up, and U. U, up, and U. They're all different. It's the same letter. But he was using that example to show that in Sanskrit, when you have cha, it's always, you know, yeah, ka is always, it's always pronounced the same way. When you have that letter ka, it's always ka. Because in Sanskrit, so in the poetry, and in the stanzas and the shlokas, there are certain rules, they have to have a certain number. Like in poetry, you know, meters and feet, they have different words. One devotee was telling me that in English, we actually, in English, the English language, the word sanya, which means to join in Sanskrit, is used in English grammar for the end that goes after the article A. So if you're talking about a, I haven't figured out an English word.
English word?
Yeah, but the anonymous meeting. You don't say anonymous, you say anonymous. So that N is a sunday. In English, the word sunday exists. And it's just used to join the A and the anonymous. You couldn't have A anonymous, you have to have anonymous.
And you say it kind of together, right?
Anonymous.
It's kind of like a constant.
Join, yeah.
The content of the last.
Yeah, the vowel is for the next word. Right. So that's a sanya. And in Sanskrit, you have all these rules of sanyas. You have a certain number of feet and meters. You have a certain, and sometimes they rhyme. Like in Bengali, especially they rhyme. And Prabhupada said that people would learn they'd learn Bengali just so they could read. This is old Bengali, this is a classical Bengali. Some people don't know even what it means today in Bengali. They can't read it because it's a little like old English. Try to understand. Latin, but educated people to understand it. And they do rhyme. A lot of these shorter, they rhyme.
It's like they all rhyme.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, most of them do rhyme. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's all these subtle kinds of what I call some embellishments or ornaments. There's alliteration. They plant the rhyme and they start with the same letter. Although,
that
goes into the ear. So this Bengali language is very, very sweet. It's based on Sanskrit, of course. I think, yeah, maybe you have to heat it up a little bit. You can get it out of here.
Don't you have
to
wipe it? Maybe you can have it now.
Well, wait, I'll have it all together.
Don't
pour in
the white
soup. Should we eat in the room
temperature?
It's about soup. Oh.
It's got more
life,
you know, more enzymes and
rice. Is it eating the room temperature?
Room
energetic. Okay. So, you're staying over night, yeah? And okay, because I think we're going early. I think that's it. Yeah, something like that. Huh? Yeah, but just changing planes. Only for changing planes. Yeah. Tomorrow. Yeah. Do you live in LA? Oh, that's nice. Where are you from? What's your... Oh, I didn't
know.
Oh, okay. Good. So maybe I should eat before you. Probably bring it down.
Do you want
to
make here?
I'll take it there, I think.
Okay.
How long ago did they leave?
Mama said they left. I think he said 10 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Well, what happened with Mrs. Modi? Don't you say that?
Oh, when I got back on the phone, Father Molly was on, and he said when he heard that you were leaving early in the morning to go there, he goes, oh, that's fine, I can just talk to him when he gets here.
Oh, okay.
So I guess maybe they're wanting to hear from
me. Yeah.
Is it Dr. Moody from Maryland?
Yeah.
He had to call earlier.
Okay, yeah, I told him. That's okay.
But he said it's all right if it's more than Washington.
Okay.
He was going to the board on Christmas celebration.
Yeah. So that was it. No messages to say. I see. Did see.
Yes, okay. Because I could use a call in the morning. And he said, oh, well, I can just talk.
Okay.
So you're going to take that flight?
I think so, yeah. Because it seems to be the most available one. Went to standby, so it's really the proper thing to do. Saturday's the best day to go.
Oh,
wait till Sunday, then get more crowded.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay. The celebration, I think, was tonight.
We have
been to the house. Always says that this morning, whenever there's one of those, and then he's, hi, hello.
And they were
so
throwing
the show.
That's pretty mad.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh no, he's waiting for you.
For Phyllis?
Yeah, he's on the agenda and they said that you'd already left, so we thought you were on your way out.
She had to ask you today if she forgot.
Oh, lady who was at the airport.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Are they coming?
She's got a pen and she's wondering if it's okay to
come. Yeah, I'll
leave you right now.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, he wants you to come. Okay. Hi, Bill. Thank you. So we'll be here in half hour.
Okay, well, maybe I'll just take a shot.
Maybe dancing in the Vedic culture with all the nice clothes on, very tight, and it was that dance. And I was telling the princess, and he said there was a time when there were all these, and I had read, there were all these Indians led India because the king was going to kill their whole village or some group, large group. And so that meant the gypsies traveling around.
Mm-hmm. What's that article up there?
This is somebody came to the temple to take a report of the temple and the body. So because I'm giving his picture. Yeah.
North County.
He didn't get any of the
details. Is this a daily paper?
I don't know what this says. Faith and Value. North County's North and yours.
It's a section. What's like of it? Robert Morrow. Could live next to Hare Krishna.
Oh,
that's really buttery. Robert Morrow. Yeah. Deepa Krishna's.